Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast. My name is Noah Trombley, joined, as always, by Mike the Pun Master Rifkid and Lawrence Patchman Lang. Guys, the Royal Rumble has just happened. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling royally.
We feel like we're on the road to WrestleMania.
Very literal, yes. Patchman, how are you?
I'm good. You know, it's a snowy situation right here in the great state of New York.
Yes, we're getting hit with a big old snowstorm this week.
Oh, good old snowstorm from the Canadians.
Yeah. Said
Canadians. And know what? I also blame Nate Moser for this too.
Oh my God, this is such a Moser fault. You're so right.
Like, yeah, it's all his fault.
I know Moser too much and I can blame him for shit already. I like it.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be doing that a lot now. But yeah.
Join the club.
The Royal Rumble has just happened. We, of course, are going to review the Royal Rumble, and we'll talk about, obviously, the road to WrestleMania. We'll discuss some potential Mania matches that we think will happen. But let's dive right into the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Mike, start with you. Just what were your general thoughts of it?
Actually, I thought the show as a whole, I thought was pretty good. Nothing really too... Not much to complain about. There are a couple of things I'll hit on later, but overall it was a good show.
Patchman, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a good show to watch. You know, in the past, you know, pay-per-views have been a little meh lately, but Royal Rumble, they actually pulled it off. It was enjoyable to watch from start to finish. It had my interest the whole time where I would just go on my phone for one match. No, I actually wanted to see every match and see the outcome of every match. So good on the E for pulling off a great pay-per-view for once.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the same boat you guys. I thought the pay-per-view was excellent. I thought every match was either good to great. The last two have been like that. I think TLC was like that too. TLC had a lot of good matches on it. I hope they continue this trend because the TV obviously has been, we've talked about it at great lengths. It's been pretty down so far. So at least to have these pay-per-views to look forward to, it's refreshing to have. But let's get right into the actual results itself. Up first on the pre-show, I know we usually don't do pre-show matches, but this one actually had stakes involved. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defeated Asuka and Charlotte Flair to become the new women's tag team champions. Patrick, I'll start with you. Thoughts on the match?
Overall, good match. It's weird seeing that, you know, you put Charlotte Flair and the Raw Women's Champion Asuka on the pre-show. You know, that could have been a good match to kick off the pay-per-view. You don't need a pre-show match to draw the audience in. No, put that as your kickoff. You know, it would have been a fine kickoff. Or you go vice versa, still have Drew and Goldberg kick off the show. Then you go to Asuka, Charlotte, Nia Jax, and Baszler. But I enjoyed the match. You know, great way to, you know, Ric Flair be Ric Flair and be the heel and give the brass knucks to Miss Lacey Evans. And then women's right into Charlotte. And boom, there goes the dynamite and the match. But overall, no, good match. 6 out of 10 in my book.
6 out of 10. All right. Mike, how about you?
Okay, I'm with Patch on a few things. One, I don't understand why the Raw Women's Champion Charlotte Flair and Baszler and Jax are all on the pre-show. That doesn't make sense. Two, I still really don't understand why Charlotte was picked to be Asuka's partner if they were just going to drop the titles a month later.
Yeah, I'm with you. That really made me upset. Like, what was the point of them winning the titles if you're just going to put them back on Baszler and Jax like less than a month later?
Yeah, that confused me. And last but not least, I'm not being disrespectful here, but I'm not the only person who hates the Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair, Lacey Evans storyline. I can't stand it.
You know what? Put it this way, it's still better than Retribution.
Anything's better
than Retribution. That's not saying much.
That's not a high bar to set.
Also, We got a bar reunion last night that no one even talked about.
Well, we'll talk about it when we get to the Rumble match. It's calm down, Mike.
You know, but overall, it was fine. I didn't understand why Asuka and Charlotte had the belts. And I hate the Flair's Evans storyline. I think it's real dumb. I'll go 6 out of 10, though. Solid. When you have the four of the best women's workers, you're going to have a good match. But let me phrase it. When you have three of the best women's workers, you're going to have a good match.
And a certain someone on one of the tag teams is a... But
with disrespect to Byron Saxton, though, on commentary will not be allowed unless I do it.
Right. The match was fine. You know, it's Flair, Asuka, Jax, Baszler. It's going to be good. Again, like, I'm with you. Just the whole, why are they winning the titles at TLC just to throw them back on Jax and Baszler at the Rumble? It doesn't make sense to me to do that. I thought the turn was coming. I thought Flair was going to turn on Asuka, cost them the women's tag team championships, and that was going to lead to Mania. Now Flair has no reason to turn on Asuka. Like, there's no, it's just like she's just going to go off to this Lacey Rick story, I guess. So interesting to see what they'll do with Asuka, I guess. I'll go 6 out of 10, 2 out of 3, 2 out of 5 stars as well. Just kind of, or 2.5 out of 5 stars, just in the middle.
It was 2.5 stars.
Yeah, it was a basic match. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't botchy or anything like that. So, all right. And so we move on now to the show proper. And it opened up with the most nervous I've ever been watching a wrestling match in my life, as Drew McIntyre defended the WWE Championship against Goldberg, beating him, thankfully, in about 4 minutes. Mike, I think you were with me. I was very nervous about this match, but what did you think of it?
First off, I had texted you that I got myself a six-pack just for this match alone.
Oh, I took a couple shots of something because I was preparing myself.
I was drinking Pat's Blue Ribbon hard coffee, not sponsored.
Listen, actually, I thought this match was fine. It was kind of what I expected. Because all it was hard-hitting moves. Like, the barricade stuff, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
No, totally surprised, which was nice.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the Goldberg-Brock match. Was it the Mania match?
It was the Mania match, where they were just going at, like, hell for leather for 6 minutes.
Yeah. So, loved it. And McIntyre going over his right decision, otherwise I would be blasting certain people. But you know what? I like the match. I like the fact that McIntyre went over. 8 out of 10.
All right. Patchman, how about you?
Yeah, you know, match started off good. McIntyre starts off with a Glasgow kiss, and then boom, it's hard hitting, and then boom, hard hitting. Claymore, spear, claymore, jackhammer, then another claymore. Like, great, great entertainment right there. And thank God Drew McIntyre went over. So yeah. 7 out of 10. And Goldberg didn't really even get winded until the end. Which was great inside of itself, because usually like 3 minutes in, Goldberg's already catching his breath and he's pouring more sweat down than Brock Lesnar does in 5 minutes.
I'm with you guys. I think the match was great. It just played to Goldberg's strengths. Don't let the match go long. Just do power moves and shock moments. That's all you do, and it gets over. I will admit I was so nervous when he took that jackhammer, because I was like, oh no, because I just heard 1, 2. I'm like, don't hit three, kick out, Drew, kick out. And he did. I was like, oh, thank Christ. I breathed the biggest sigh of relief, because, yeah, Drew had to win. I wasn't going to take another young champion getting demolished by Goldberg just because it's Goldberg. So I give it a 6 out of 10. I thought, I mean, the jackhammer was kind of lame. It kind of looked like he just kind of picked Drew up and then just kind of dropped him. I just kind of fell on him. So I kind of knock it a little bit for that, just because it's like, at this point, WWE, you got to realize what you have with Goldberg. He's got to work with smaller guys that he can lift up. He can't do it anymore. Don't put him with Taker or Drew or anybody like that. Just
yeah, because, you know, there are going to be so many people lined up to see Goldberg versus Mustafa Ali.
And look, if Goldberg can instead of killing a title reign, kill a faction and he kills Retribution, I'll take that in a heartbeat.
It'll be one for the internet.
Absolutely. So yeah, 6 out of 10 for me. 6 out of 10 stars. I think it was good, but like I said, the jackhammer kind of like was like eh. And but Drew won, so I don't care. Drew won, could care less. All right, up next. We move on to the SmackDown Women's Championship as Sasha Banks defeated Carmella to retain her belt. I've been starting. I thought this match was pretty good. I think they continued their great chemistry from TLC. And I got to give major props to Carmella. She really has improved a lot in the ring. Improved a lot in the ring, and her character's really improved. And by the way, that's dive to the outside. Ooh, that looked bad. I thought the match was done at that point. But like I said, Carmella has looked fantastic. I mean, Sasha Banks, we know Sasha Banks is one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. There's no, you know, no denying that. But like I said, Carmella has really elevated her game to a point where I could see her as a new women's champion down the line. Maybe SummerSlam, you know, Survivor Series time this year. I give the match 7 out of 10. I thought it was a really, really good match. I thought these two had really, really good chemistry. The Reginald stuff, I'm glad he was kind of kicked out early, because I think if they'd done that too much, it would have gotten annoying and taken away from the match. But yeah, I really like this match. Mike, how about you?
Yeah, I enjoyed this one as well. This was fun. I'm with you on the improvement of Carmella. She's really improved. Eventually, you're right, she'll probably get a second run as a women's champion again. But it was solid. It was just as good, if not better, than TLC. So I'll go 7 with you. I thought it was good.
Yeah, solid 7 minus the, you know, the botched suicide dive that almost ended the match. I agree, Reginald could have hanged in there a little bit more.
Poor Reggie.
Working in a studio right now.
Dealing with Mouser.
Yeah, dealing with Mouser. God, you know what? That's a negative 1 out of 10 right there. But the match itself is a solid, you know, I'll go with you guys, a solid 7. Give me 3 stars.
Awesome. All right. And now we move on to the Women's Royal Rumble match, a.k.a. my match of the night.
That's debatable.
Mike, what were your thoughts on the Women's Royal Rumble as Bianca Belair defeated 29 other women to punch her ticket to WrestleMania?
Okay, the Women's Royal Rumble, I'm with you. It was the better of the two Rumbles. Just the, not just the depth, but the way they went, we'll mix in some legends and we'll mix in a lot. There was a lot of NXT feel.
I mean, you had what? Okay, so you had Toni Storm, you had Dakota Kai, you had Shotzi Blackheart.
Santana Garrett. Rhea Ripley.
Oh, that's right. Ember Moon. So six NXT women.
And let's not forget, Nia came from NXT. Charlotte came from NXT. Bayley came from
Lacey.
Everyone came from NXT. So there was an NXT vibe to this.
Mm-hmm. My power almost went out of my house.
Mm-mm. Ooh,
it's flickering.
Yeah, I see them flickering.
Oh, maybe the fiend is coming. But all in all, it was really good. I really enjoyed. The one part I hated, and I know people are going to say, "Oh, it was really funny," was the Billy Kay stuff.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, I'm totally with
it. Parts of it was funny. Parts of it were funny. But really, Shayna Baszler is going to tag with Billy Kay during the Rumble.
No, well, you know, once I started hearing sliced bread, I kind of marked out a little because, you know, Jillian Hall, staple.
That was my one knock on it.
But my knock would have been Alicia Fox, but that's a whole nother story.
No. The knock is them saying Alicia Fox is a legend.
That's true.
No offense, Alicia Fox, but
it is not. No. That is not true.
But no.
And also, the R-Truth running into the Rumble was kind of just weird.
Yeah, that was the problem that I have with that is it makes the Women's Rumble feel inferior because they're putting a comedy angle in it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is more important. It's like almost feels like this. I know it's not, but it feels like, oh, we're going to put this in here because we don't feel your Rumble as important as the men. So we'll have this R-Truth thing in that. And it's like, ugh. Yeah.
But on a different note, Victoria looked like she didn't miss a step.
Oh, no, she hasn't missed anything. Yeah, Victoria returned. Yeah, she hasn't missed a single step in the ring.
You got Tori Wilson. Just okay.
Who I think is aging backwards because how does she look younger than she did in 2003? Mike, what would you give the match overall?
I'll go 8.5.
Yeah, same here.
I love the ending too with Belair and Ripley. It just felt like a changing of the guard kind of deal.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go 9 out of 10. I loved the whole how Rhea and Belair are on the apron, and they kind of just look at each other like, truce? And they get back in the ring, and now they have the match inside of a match at the end of the Rumble. Really, really like that kind of detail they did, kind of like the mutual respect between the two of them. Yeah, like I said, the only gripe I have really is the R-Truth running in. It just felt out of place. It felt awkward. But the right person won. I mean, honestly, either the last two could have won. I would have been happy with it. Belair could have won. Ripley could have won. I would have been happy with it. I'll go 9.
I would have been happy if Ripley won because it makes up for the debacle from last year.
It's fair.
But I'm all right with Belair winning. I'm not the biggest Belair fan, but I can't wait to see who she goes after.
I will say this. When it came down to Belair, Ripley, and Charlotte, I had that bad feeling in my stomach.
I did too. I was like, oh no.
Not again. We're not doing this again.
Like, yeah, get this. Don't do it again. But I loved that detail too. I loved how Ripley and Belair kind of like looked over at Charlotte like, wait a minute. Yeah, we're not letting you win again.
It's not your time is up. My time is now.
Talk about a man I thought was going to end her, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. You both gave it 8.5, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So now we move on to your semi-main event as Roman Reigns defended the WWE Universal Championship against Kevin Owens in a last man standing match. Patrick, what were your thoughts on Roman versus Owens?
Oh my God, that was a hard-hitting last man standing match. Kind of botched the ending a little, but we'll get to that in a few moments. But just great spots all together. Owens getting thrown off like the third tier of the Thunderdome and then practically getting run over by a golf cart.
That was spot of the night.
Spot of the night, you know, people were joking. Oh, it's just like Stadium Stampede. I text you guys right away. He did it for The Rock.
I'm not going to lie. I was so caught off guard by the golf cart spot.
I was too.
Because he's walking to the back and I'm like, and I see the referee kind of walk around. I'm like, wait, where's Roman?
And then
Roman, yeah, Roman should be back. But I also, and like, oh my God. And just the sound it made. It sounded
the sound
like
it made the plexi going off the golf. Off the golf cart.
It sounded like he legit like just rammed him over. What work though by Owens to like get up to like jump into that, by the way. Props to him for taking that. Mike, your thoughts.
It was fun. It wasn't what I expected it to be because I was kind of thinking, oh, they're just gonna have Roman dominate and we're not gonna get anything out of this. But Owens with the spot off the third tier, the Thunderdome. How about the dive off the forklift?
Dive off the forklift.
Oh, like when he I know we'll get to this, but when he handcuffs Roman, I found that so symbolic after what happened.
Like you held me down for years. Now I hold you down. It felt like that moment. But yeah, so what we've been mentioning, the ending of the match, unfortunately it was good intentions, I think, but the execution just didn't work. So Owens handcuffed Roman to like a pole or like a steel, I guess you'd call it a, I'm trying to get the right word here, scaffold kind of thing. And so Roman's not going to be able to answer the count of 10 because he's so low to the ground that he can't physically stand up. So he grabs the ref and throws the ref into another steel bar that's hanging down. Ref's knocked out. He can't complete his count. And Paul Heyman goes to unlock Roman from the handcuffs and takes a massive amount of time. He mightily struggled to get those cuffs off him. I mean, I think it probably took a solid minute and a half before Roman was free. Maybe longer.
Unfortunately, they should have one of those fake handcuff situations where, hey, you just clip the side. Oh, hey, handcuff goes free.
Right.
Where you play the angle right. He has the key. He's angling. And then you just see him hit you find a way to have him hit the clip. And then boom, hey, he's free.
Or have it be like weak enough to where if he needs to, Roman can just kind of snap it.
Yeah, just like I say, once again, have one of those $3 cheap handcuffs where, hey, you just, and then, hey, your hands are free. And then, you got to wear the handcuffs the rest of the match, but.
Yeah, and the big thing for me that made this even worse was it wasn't the fact that they couldn't get the handcuffs. It was the fact that Owens, right after he gets free, he just puts Kevin Owens in the guillotine and chokes Kevin Owens out. And poor Owens had to stand there and kind of sell for ages. And it made him look really bad because it's like, dude, you had a 2 minutes to recover. You should have been ready to go. But he kind of had to look stupid a little bit, unfortunately. But like I said, it was just the execution was poor. Mike, what were your thoughts on that?
I wondered what took Heyman so long. And I was like, that's a really tight area.
It was. Also.
So it may have made more sense to not have Heyman be the guy. Maybe use Jey Uso in that spot. It's not like you used him for anything else. But that's all another issue.
We'll get into that.
But, yeah, it just took too long. It is what it is, I guess. But. Like I said, it took too long.
It wasn't a stupid decision. It was just poor execution. And here's the thing. I don't know about you guys. I can much easier forgive a good idea, poor execution, rather than a dumb idea.
Oh, 100%.
So it's unfortunate, but I don't think it was that bad of a thing. Just made Kevin Owens look kind of weak in the end. But I give this match four and a half stars. I give it nine out of 10. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. 4.5, 9 out of 10.
Great spots execution. Spots were fantastic. Great execution. It really felt like a fight. It felt like these two just did not like each other. They were just trying to go after one another. And it felt really... And Kevin Owens took a lot of stuff. Like I know he said he looked weak in the end, but man, he took a lot of crap from Roman. Like the throwing off the third tier, the dive off the forklift, then he gets speared through the LED screen.
He did a frog splash too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did a frog splash off some crates onto Roman on like a fake announce table and stuff. Yeah, it was pretty hard hitting. What's your star rating there, Mike?
I'd go 4, 4.5 out of 5, but I'm with you guys 9 out of 10.
All right. And finally, we get to the main event, which was the Men's Royal Rumble match as Edge went the distance. He entered at number one and won the whole thing, outlasting 29 other superstars to punch his ticket back to WrestleMania in the main event. Mike, I'll start with you. Men's Royal Rumble match.
Okay, so we have beef here. We have a lot of beef here. And listen, I don't care that Edge winning was awesome, cool, great, but it also shows something. It shows you haven't built anyone up big enough to have them win and give them the moment. That's one. Two, you wasted about 5 or 6 spots in this match. There were several people who I don't care for, not that I don't care, but we kind of figured it. They're not going to do anything. I don't need to see Jeff Hardy in the Royal Rumble taken away from a younger talent. I don't need to see Rey Mysterio in the Royal Rumble taken away from younger talent. I'll go a step further. I don't need to see Dominic Mysterio in the Royal Rumble taking away from someone's moment. I don't need to see Kane take away from someone's moment. And I don't need to see the Hurricane take away from someone's moment.
That was my big one. I was like, these are the fun.
Listen, I know there's someone out there who's going to say, oh, well, you're okay with Christian coming back?
Yeah.
The Edge and Christian moment might be the best part of the Rumble.
And it's a guy coming back versus a guy just who's done nothing the last year, just kind of like, just showing up again. That's it's a different right. thing.
It was great. That was fine. The other guys, like Keith Lee. Why is Keith Lee not there?
And here's the thing. We talked about this, Mike. These guys, like Jey Uso and Keith Lee, both declared for the Royal Rumble, and they weren't in it.
Keith Lee had COVID, so him and Mia Yim had COVID, so.
Okay, so that'll explain Keith Lee.
That explains Keith Lee, and I think Keith Lee would have won the Rumble.
Somehow. Oh, that sucks if that was the case.
That's why you didn't see Mia Yim in the she's part of Retribution, so that's a different story.
So I explained Keith Lee, but that still goes back to our original point. Jey Uso declared for the Royal Rumble. Where was he?
And here's the other thing too. I said for the Women's Rumble, you had that NXT flavor feel. This didn't have that feel.
It felt like more of like an aging kind of like.
This felt like a battle royal I can watch on Raw.
Damian Priest was your only NXT.
Damian Priest was the only one. And he was on Raw tonight too.
And he made his Raw debut.
Which is great. Glad for
him.
I will
say, I was happy Carlito finally got his moment because he wouldn't. Yeah. And he wrestled tonight on Raw.
Good.
And did he wrestle?
It was him and Hardy versus Elias and I think Jackson Riker.
Don't tell me. Carlito and Hardy won.
Oh, yeah. Backstabber, Swanton Bond combo. Come on.
Just got to throw Hardy in there.
But, like, what? Can I go on a little tangent here?
Go ahead.
Can I go on my side one real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're going to give Carlito a match, give him a singles match. Let him have his 100%. His moment once again, because Carlito didn't even get the pin. Jeff Hardy got the pin.
Cool. He wasted Carlito's return, kind of.
I could see maybe pandemic standpoints, he couldn't eat the apple that spit in the face of the person he didn't want to see.
Well, yeah.
No, if Carlito's coming back, you go full circle with the apple, COVID or non-COVID. But here's the beef that I have. Why are we sacrificing young talent for Jeff Hardy? That doesn't make sense anymore. Like Jeff Hardy's best singles run was when he won the world title in what, 2009?
Between like 2008 and 2010.
Okay, so he had a nice run. 11, 12 years later, Jeff Hardy shouldn't be a focal point anymore.
And he's not. He just always beats Elias. It's like, what's the point?
And then we talk about, you know, taking moments away. We have Edge and Randy Orton as the main event tonight on Raw.
Okay, but at least they'll tell a story because my guess would be since a certain person didn't come out last night, he'll be back tonight.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
I would hope so. Because I that was really surprising too, because you had the whole thing where Edge and Orton brawled on the outside, and then Orton kind of gets taken to the bag. It looks like he's got a bad knee injury. And I was really nervous. You talk about being nervous during the Women's Rumble, Mike. I was really nervous during the Men's Rumble because I was like, why isn't Orton coming out yet? Like, we know he's going to come back. And I was like, oh, God, are they going to have him, like, win at, like, the last minute and give him a third Rumble win? And I was like, oh, no.
See, I just randomly thought, no. At 28 or 29, when it was Rollins, I thought, Rollins might actually win this one, and it'll be the Messiah versus the head of the table.
Thank God we didn't get that.
Which, I mean, I would be okay with that. I'd like it. I would like it too. But, you know, it would have been much better if he had his, you know, stable with him. But anyway.
Here's the one other thing. I'm sorry to cut you off. If you're going this route of Edge winning, he has to win the title.
He can't come up short.
He has to win the title.
It's the title he didn't lose. He had to relinquish it.
Yeah, he has to win. I mean, you can make an argument that, you know, Rumbles, you know, the winner of the Rumble can lose at Mania sometimes. But for this, yeah, you're right, Mike. For him to run the table like that, to go from 1 to 30 and win like that, he's got to win the title.
For everything he's been through, he has to win at WrestleMania.
Whether it's against Edge or whether it's against Roman or McIntyre. Which
Or somebody else.
I was thinking he challenges Finn for the NXT title.
No, hear me out. There's going to be two pay-per-views in between?
We got two papers. We got Chamber and then I think Fastlane.
Okay. So I really could care less about Fastlane. But at the Elimination Chamber, what if, hypothetical, one of the spots is taken by Christian? And Christian wins one of the titles, and you get Edge versus Christian for a title to main event WrestleMania.
I wouldn't mind that because it just could be a one off for Christian. I hope it's not, because I hope, like I talked once again, I texted you guys last night when the Rumble was going on, that there better be a chronicle for Christian, because that was a natural reaction from everybody.
Oh, and my God.
Edge had no clue, because he looked up and he's like, he hears his music. He looks up and then you just see a smile. That's like, that could be acting and great acting, but to me, that's a genuine reaction and like a shock factor.
I know this has been like a whole like thing of the last year and a half, but talk about a moment I wish had a crowd.
Yeah. If
people would have went ape shit for Christian too. Because everyone knows that Christian was another one that had to retire, not because it was his time, but due to certain circumstances. And if we got the three clears that everyone wanted. We got a Daniel Bryan clear, we got Edge cleared, and then we got a Christian cleared. That hopefully that all three now can retire on their terms.
Well, I'm hoping there's not one more that comes in a few years, but we'll. That's a different story.
Hulk Hogan will not be cleared.
Yeah, he should never be cleared.
Thank God.
But yeah, seeing Christian back was fantastic too. I know we skipped over that. He's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers of all time, and it was so happy to see him back and healthy and being able to work like that. It was so good to see. And the Edge reunion, like you said, Mike, was probably one of the best moments of the night.
And thank God for Corey Graves. When Christian hit the unprettier, because he just went unprettier and not this stupid kill switch.
Oh, I love it. I actually like the kill switch more.
I do not like the kill switch name. No, it is the unprettier.
Can we also talk about the best moment of the Rumble being Corey Graves and Samoa Joe were on commentary together, and it was beautiful.
It was amazing.
It was gold. A good team. Really, really good team.
I now want that every show. Because I don't need to hear Byron Saxton anymore.
Shut up, Byron.
I don't need to hear Michael Cole anymore. Just have it be Phillips, Graves, and Samoa Joe. There you go. You're perfect.
That's fine. Yeah, do that. Or even do Vic Joseph. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, throw him BNB.
Oh my god, that's
too much. That is too much.
That's a lot.
No, it is not. That is not too much. You want to talk about good commentary where they can all can all tell a story for commentary? Jesus.
Listen, as a broadcasting major, yeah, that would be
exactly awesome. As a broadcasting major,
yeah,
and a comm major, you want to listen to that instead of
you want to hear good things, not dumb things that come out of people's mouths like Michael Cole or Moser.
It's boss time. Let's go Sabres.
All right, before we get to our last topic, real quick, Mike, star rating for the Men's Rumble. Or unless you have anything else to add about the Men's Rumble.
Listen, the surprise entrants are cool, but you had an opportunity where you could have used more from NXT this year, and you didn't do it. I know whose decision it was. Vince. Shame and dumb.
What do you get for a star rating?
I'll go 3.5 out of 5.
Okay. Patrick, how about you?
3.5 out of 5.
I go 4. I think it's just below the Women's Rumble. I think there were still a lot of good moments in it. The Women's Rumble felt more like a great acting type of rumble, and this one was more of like an emotion filled. I mean the women's one was more of a fun rumble. This one, the men's one, was more of like an emotional rumble, I felt like.
Would you agree with me that you felt the ending was a little rushed?
Yeah, I definitely could see that because there was no like match within a match where it's like the last two guys. It kind of, like you said, because the last four were, well, technically the last four, but were Strowman, Edge, Christian, and Seth. And then like Seth just dumps Christian and Strowman out in one go. Then Edge immediately eliminates Seth, and then Orton hits an RKO, and then Edge counters and immediately throws him out. It's like that all happened within like the span of like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it just felt weird.
Yeah, it did feel rushed a little bit. So I would give it a markdown from the Women's Rumble for that too.
Like the other part for Orton would have been once he's sitting on the outside, you could have just had the lights go down and have the Fiend come out then.
Well, obviously they wanted him to factor in the finish, so they didn't want the Fiend to come out. So maybe that's what
it just felt weird.
It just felt weird too. Like you feel like the Fiend should have came back. On a pay-per-view, because that's where the most eyes are.
I mean, the Women's Rumble was, in my opinion, more fun. This one had more of the feels, but...
Right. So...
This could have been more fun.
Could have been, if they had not wasted spots on Kane and Jeff Hardy.
And the Hurricane.
And the Hurricane. Oh, that one was just so dumb. I was like, oh, come on, we're doing this again. Just, yeah, it's so weird.
Like, it's not to disrespect, but I don't need to see Kane wrestle ever again.
Yeah, we've seen enough of him. Like, it's over.
Just put him in the hall and let him go on his merry way.
Let him be mayor and let him be corporate Kane.
You know what? If you're going to go that route with Kane, he's got to come out as Demon Kane, Corporate Kane, and Mayor Kane, like Mankind did, like Mick Foley did. I think it was in 99 where he came out as Cactus Jack, Dude Love, and Mankind.
He comes out as Mayor, Glenn Jacobs, like Corporate Kane, and then Foley Kane.
Exactly.
That'd be funny. All right, so to wrap up this episode, we're going to go through the two Rumble winners. We'll go through some other matches here that we think are going to be what we think will happen at WrestleMania. So, Mike, starting with you, who do you think Edge is going to face at WrestleMania?
Now that I've said it, I really just want this Edge versus Christian match. But if I'm picking one of the two champions now, I'm going to say McIntyre.
Patchman, how about you?
I really want Roman and Rock, so he's gonna go after McIntyre.
I think you gotta put the Rock dream out of there, man. I don't think it's happening this year. I'm actually going to say Edge Roman. I think Edge Roman would be a much bigger match that you could promote. You could promote this whole like Edge has to like wants to win the title back that he never lost. So he has to go through the tribal chief, the guy who's been on the top of the company for the last 5+ years. I think that's a much bigger story, much more inlaid and stuff you could do with that. You know, there's history between Heyman and Edge too. So I think going that route would be better. So I'm actually going to go, I think they're going to do Edge Roman here. I think they're going to save someone else for McIntyre. All right, Mike, going back to you, who do you think? Okay. So you said Edge challenges McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
Who challenges Roman?
Okay. So Roman is the guy. So there are three options for me. One of them is on the roster. Two of them are TBD. You're going to go, you can go Roman and Rollins. That would be the guy on the roster. And then the two, you can go Roman Cena, because Cena's apparently going to be on the card. And because they're them, it could totally be Roman and Brock.
Good. If they sign Brock, they got to sign him back.
And it'll be a stupid match where Paul Heyman is on a pole.
Judy Bagwell at a forklift match 2.0.
Vince Russo, call me. We'll get together and we'll discuss.
All right. Patrick, you said Edge goes after McIntyre as well?
Yes.
So who goes after Roman?
I wish The Rock, but we're going to speak realistically here. You know what? Give me Keith Lee.
Be interesting. You have to get to change brands, but I think they could make that work.
Okay. That's another issue I have. All the shows are taking place at the same place. Why are we having a brand split still?
We need it.
I guess keeping rosters separate, just keeping all people right. on different.
Listen,
shows.
Save that tangent for a different day.
Yeah, we'll save that for a different day.
So
I said Edge challenges Roman. I will say if they don't do Edge Roman and they do Edge McIntyre, I think Bryan would challenge Roman. I think Daniel Bryan Roman Reigns is like a match that they've been planning for a while. They've been hyping it up too. But I do believe Edge is going to challenge Roman. And for McIntyre, I'm actually going to go Keith Lee for McIntyre. I think they saw what they did on Raw a few weeks ago, and they kind of made them go easy so they could save the match for a Mania and really let those two kind of really show their chemistry and really just go out there and put on a banger of like a 25-minute match for the WWE title. So I think Keith Lee will face.
That's fair.
All right. So kind of on to some other people here. Mike, who does Bianca Belair challenge?
Sasha Banks, the Boss versus EST. That's all that matters.
That's a no-brainer. She's going after Banks.
Yeah, I think it's the most set match you can have right now. I think it's Banks Belair for the SmackDown title.
Guys, do you realize what you just said? What we've said?
What?
So Banks Belair, the Fresh Prince of Belair. It was the Banks family.
That's how you have to do the opening promo for the match. That is the promo package.
Now, this is how a little story got told.
About how I won the Rumble and moved on to WrestleMania.
I mean, I don't know why I just thought of this randomly at 10:30 on Monday night, but
it's an awesome down fact.
In Thunderdome, I was in the Rumble.
It's an awesome fact to remember, that's for sure. But yeah, so we all got her going after Banks. So, Mike, who goes after Asuka for her Raw Women's Championship?
I want to say Ripley. But I don't think it's going to be Ripley. So I'm just going to say, because she's always in the title, but it's going to be Charlotte. Give me Ripley, Charlotte, Asuka, triple threat. That's fine.
I agree with you, Mike. I think that's where they're going. I think they're going Ripley, Asuka, Charlotte,
that's triple fine.
Threat. So they can do kind of a rematch, but keep it fresh by throwing Asuka in there as well. Patrick, what do you think?
You know what? For like maybe a shock factor, give me Alexa Bliss, what she's been doing.
I think that'd be interesting.
You know, okay, we got, you know, Asuka has this somewhat dark side that she can channel. How about Alexa Bliss? She can channel that inner evil Alexa Bliss. But if we're going realistic factor here, it's going to be Charlotte Flair or Lacey Evans somehow.
Oh, God. That talk about a match I would not care for at all.
Oh, or it's going to be a handicap match. Lacey and Rick versus Charlotte.
Oh, God. All right, so we've got the champions covered. I'm not going to talk about the tag team titles right now because they obviously don't care about them, so why should we?
So I got a random. I got one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
So how about Big E versus Christian for the IC title, the match that we never got all those years ago when Christian won that IC championship match to opportunity and then concussion and then, hey, match never happens.
I completely forgot about that. I forgot about the US and IC titles, actually. I like that. I think Big E's going to have a big match. Christian's a good choice.
If anything, if Christian's really back, we need to get, I hate to say, we need an Edge and Christian one more tag team run.
Oh, of course we do. Of course we do.
Come on. We need 5 second poses back too.
Exactly.
We got a 5 second pose last night with the hug.
Basically. If I'm saying a prediction for Big E, Mike, do you have one?
New Day for the IC title, all three of them.
I was going to say Kofi. That'd be fun.
Kofi would be interesting.
But realistically, if I'm going to go SmackDown, I'm going to go Corbin.
Oh, yeah. You know they're going to give Corbin a mania pain.
Corbin's going to get something.
What's your hatred towards Corbin?
He was better when he had the hair.
But the dude was balding. I love Corbin. There's something about him I just like. It might just because the End of Days is a great finisher.
We got to see Kurt Angle's last match be against Baron Corbin,
and it was not fun.
Well, I blame Vince partially for that one. But
we're not going to argue that. But we blame him for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But then again, I also blame Kurt Angle for almost killing Brock Lesnar. He was too far over for a shooting star that Brock could easily hit.
So back to Big E though. I think another option is Cesaro.
Let's give Cesaro a moment. Finally,
let's give Cesaro something. Big E gets a nice little 5 month title reign, and let's put it on Cesaro now.
But Nakamura. Could you put it back on Nakamura?
Could put it back on Nakamura. I was thinking that as well.
But does Nakamura need it?
No. He needs
something.
He needs to get back into the world title picture. He's got the face music back. He's got the better music back. He needs to be elevated back into the... I thought they were doing that like a few weeks ago when they were doing that gauntlet match and they had Nakamura run the table. It's like, oh, cool. Let's give Nakamura another push again. And then, nope. Oh, Pierce enters. He wins. Oh, and now it's Owens. It's like, no offense, Owens, but what the hell? Should have been Nakamura.
Nakamura and Owens for the tag titles.
Interesting. Could do something like that. That wouldn't be too bad.
Okay, so if we're going Big E, then we have to talk about Lashley in the U.S. title.
Lashley, I think they're setting up Riddle. They're going to give Riddle a big moment at Mania, have him win the U.S. title.
You know, if Keith Lee doesn't get involved in the main title, they might do Lee and Lashley.
Which I would not be unhappy with. I actually think that would be a good match.
I would say Priest, but he's going to do something totally different now.
Yeah, he's going to do something with a bad old bunny over there.
That's now a thing, but yeah.
Better use of Damian Priest, but again, they've already killed another NXT guy. Like, come on, dude.
You could have just... Listen, we don't care. It's WrestleMania. Have it be Bad Bunny and Booker T versus Miz and Morrison.
What's so hard about that? No, you got to throw Priest in there. We got to make sure his NXT talent knows he's not on top of the card yet.
We know we're going to also probably get Fiend and Orton at Mania.
Oh, that's the other thing. Fiend, Orton, Firefly Funhouse. That's 100% happening.
But I will say this. My mom pointed out this flaw last night. You have Randy Orton enter in. He recovered in 2 weeks from all his burns.
Oh, yeah, that was dumb as hell. But that was good. We all
my mom pointed out, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. He's not all red-faced anymore.
We knew that was going to happen.
So what you're saying is Randy Orton in the Firefly Funhouse, we're going to have to see the evolution of Randy Orton?
Yes.
I'm kind of fine with that.
Oh, I want that. Honestly.
You know what? If he freaking punts Boss... McBossman puppet, I'll lose my shit.
I mean, here's the thing. I thought about this. I think Orton's could be better than Cena's.
Oh, Cena's was still great, though.
Cena's was fantastic. There's no denying that. But I think
Orton's, I still go back and watch that.
I think Orton's could be like more deeper cutting than Cena's was. Like, think about
Evolution.
All.
Evolution puppets.
Like, think about.
God, the Triple H puppet would be awesome.
Well, because here's the thing. Here's the moment that you have to have in the Firefly Funhouse match. If you do this, you have to have a moment where Bray talks about the world title run that he had in 04, and then have Cena just kind of come in and be like, "You could have been him." Like, if you hadn't have failed at that title run, you could have been Cena. You could have been better than him. Like, that's why I think Orton's could be better.
Ooh. Just imagine a Triple H puppet, though, just holding a little tiny sledgehammer.
That'd be funny. But yeah, I think Orton's, because of the whole, like, he's always been in Cena's shadow, I think you could really play on that. Almost, like, build off of Cena's one and make it hurt Orton more. That's why I'm, like, more excited for Orton's Firefly Funhouse match, which they have to do. At this point, they really have to do it. So other than that, do you guys have any other matches you think will happen at Mania?
Okay, so if he's not fighting for a title, we've heard the rumor that Cena's bound for Mania.
Cena's bound for Mania.
I would assume it's a match, not just a one-off.
Like, yeah.
Appearance.
That like what we saw. I don't know what you would do. Maybe, no, you wouldn't do Cena AJ. That was done too much. What about, this would suck, but what about Cena Goldberg?
I said that, but it depends if Cena really wants to be part of Mania.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't know who's a really big star that could benefit from a Cena, like, beating Cena. Maybe Cena Lee? Cena Keith Lee?
No.
Keith Lee's not there yet.
Keith Lee's not there yet. He's not ready for a match with Cena.
You can play a lot of musical chairs because... let's say Edge goes after Drew, it could be Cena, Roman, and we could go from there. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to that.
Yeah,
there's a rumor that they want to have Orton tie Flair and Cena at 16, then find a way to do Flair. Well, a couple, maybe down the road at maybe like when WrestleMania is in Hollywood, they want to do Cena and Orton for the 17th. Rain.
I know Mike's been saying that for a long time.
But that's
one of the two's bound to break the record.
And you know what, it's going to be Orton that breaks the record.
I'd have no issues with it.
I have no issues either.
You know, if Cena didn't go full-blown Hollywood like he said he wouldn't.
He'd already would have done it.
He would have done it already.
Yeah, he totally would have.
But now Cena's become what he never wanted to be, and that was a part-timer.
Mm-hmm. But hey, so it's
he finally became what he hated, as Bray indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Or rematch it up. Cena, Mark Calloway.
Why do you gotta pain me, Mike? Well, yeah,
let the freaking Taker.
Let him retire.
I'm just saying, would it shock anyone if it happened?
It wouldn't, but
Taker better be getting a good chunk of change for it.
Oh yeah, he better be getting a big old payday. I'm trying to think else you could pair with Cena. I really can't think of anybody else.
If he was still on the main roster, I'd say Finn, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not happening.
You know what? How about we get it one more time? How about the UE versus Imperium?
I'm there.
I love it, but like, how are you setting that up? The problem is that you really have to turbocharge the build right now.
Okay. Well, aren't both Imperium and Strong and Cold still in the Dusty Cup? That's your finals, and that's how you set it up.
No, Imperium already lost.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Poor Imperium.
Yeah, so.
We need more.
I love Walter. Imperium. Wow. Walter.
Is Finn going to defend the NXT title at WrestleMania?
Who does he defend it against?
Probably Cross.
That's more of a takeover. I love Karrion Kross, don't get me wrong, but you make that you gotta draw the audience to a takeover main event.
The problem is they're not doing takeover in front of WrestleMania anymore. Remember that. It's gonna be two nights again.
Which, by the way, great call.
Oh yeah, fantastic call.
You get the crowd back, two nights.
Yeah.
You're gonna have somewhat of a crowd of Mania this year. But make it a two-night thing again. I'm fine with it.
Even when you have a crowd, you should have two nights. New Japan does it with Wrestle Kingdom all the time. So, you could. I think the only thing that could happen with an NXT is that you have to Finn defending its Cross at Mania because, you know, you're not doing a takeover. You're doing two nights of Mania, so you have that as one of your marquee matches. And Shirai just kind of does it maybe before or after Mania on an episode of NXT has her big match. So other than that, I can't. It's a little hard to predict right now because a lot of stuff could change. You know, I'm sure they're still throwing around ideas like we are. Like, oh, could we do this? Could we do that? Could we have this? Because I don't believe Edge picked who he's facing yet, right?
No, he cut a promo with McIntyre.
Right. So, I don't know what they're going to do for Mania. I hope it's good. I hope they really put some nice stuff together. But that's going to wrap up this episode for the Face Turn. For Mike Rifkin, Lawrence Patchman Lang, I've been Noah Trombley, and we will see you guys next time.
Namaste.